Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Well, I'm excited this morning because one of my sort of heroes, idols in ministry is with us this morning. I got saved at a camp in Vero Beach, Florida back when I was about 8 years old. And I went there every single year. And then when I felt God calling me to be a pastor, I went back there in the summer of 1995 to teach Bible classes week in and week out. And they would bring in different camp speakers to be camp pastors over the summer. And one of them was a guy named Paul Turner, who was also kind of come to that camp for many years. And I remember sitting there listening to him preach about the runaway bunny. And someday you're going to get a message about the runaway bunny. I know where I stole it from now. That was 23 years ago. Still remember the message, had deep impact on me. And I said, you know, someday I would be able to teach the Word of God in such a way that it captivates people's attention. It's something that lingers with them. They marinate on it, and they remember it. I said, I want to be like that guy right there. And it was Paul Turner. I just tried to suck the life out of him the week he was there and get everything out of him. And so I've been following him via podcast and blog for many years. I go back there as a camp pastor, and I kind of jokingly say, I always have to wait until Paul chooses his date before they allow me to choose my date, because he's just that good. So in a moment, we're going to pray for him right now. Ask you to pray with me, and then we're going to welcome him on stage. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have just to be a part of your kingdom and a part of what you're doing in this world. I just ask, Lord, that you put your hand upon Pastor Paul right now as he comes to share your word with us, and may we be prepared in our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please welcome Paul Turner.
God bless you. All right. Good morning, church. How are we today? We're doing well. As Steve said, I am currently living in the great state of Alabama, so I send a Roll Tide to you for those who are college football fans. If you're not a college football fan, by the way, I'm an Alabama fan by marriage. I'm actually a Notre Dame fan, so go Irish. and if you're into NFL, I say go Blue, go Giants. So just so you know, okay. I grew up in New York City. I lived and moved to Vero Beach, Florida, where I also gave my heart to the Lord at this same camp, and eventually wound up meeting my wife there. That's a good camp. How many of you are single? I can get you a job there. You too can meet your wife there. Hallelujah. But I want to thank Steve for allowing me to come and be a part today. And I want to share with you guys about talking about service. I want to talk about serve like you own it. Serve like you own it. Now, the word service is kind of baked into our society. If you haven't noticed, there are certain key words in our... Listen, police officers, what do? They protect and... Okay. Soldiers, this is a military town, right? We thank military personnel for their... Okay. Mailmen, firemen, government officials, we call them civil. Okay. So when you go to Chick-fil-A... How may I? And it is my pleasure. We know who eats at Chick-fil-A now, right? We know this. We know who you are. But it's baked into our society. By the way, when we come to church, we say, what time does start? Service is baked in to our society in many ways. If I could back up to civil servants, I just think Christians today need to be civil servants. Have you checked out the internet lately? It's not very civil. It's not very civil out there. In fact, there's very much knee-jerk reactions to just about everything. Somebody posts something immediately, and I'm not saying anybody of those people are in here. I'm just saying they're out there somewhere. Possibly the third row. I don't know. But I am saying somebody sees something and immediately we go, I got to answer that. Give me my keyboard. We feel it necessary to start doing that. And, when something, it's funny, when something's not working, we say it's out of
service.
Okay. Sadly, there are many Christians who are out of service. Right? Don't you hate going to, if you have to go to a restroom at a gas station, place like that, and you really got to go, and you go to the thing, and it just says out of service, and it's just a sad face. You're like, really? Really? And you're thinking, you know what? I feel that many people in this world today, when they come across a Christian who's out of service, I think there's a sad face. I just think people say that person who knows Christ, are expecting people, believers in Jesus, to be servants. And when Christians are out of service, they're like, oh, thought maybe something was going to happen. I was kind of looking for something. I was kind of wanting something. And sometimes Christians put out there, look, I understand sometimes Christians are, listen, I have moments. Anybody have a moment? Listen, I understand the whole thing about paying for people's meals in a drive-thru, right? I was in a bad mood the other day. I'm sorry, I just was. And my wife was with me, and I just had a hissy, and I was like, it was a terrible thing, and bad things are happening. And somebody paid for my meal through the McDonald's line. I said, great. Too bad for the guy behind me. I'm not paying for it. And I didn't, and it was sad on my part, because let me tell you why. I was out of service. At that moment, my emotional well-being was not to the place where I could say that, beside the fact I don't know how much they paid for their meal, and it could have been more expensive than mine. I could have been paying double. And, we don't think that. I know, oh, my, they just paid for my stuff. Now I got to, oh, my gosh. I love what the Apostle Paul says here. He says in Ephesians 4:28, he says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Isn't it funny that the Apostle Paul doesn't send them off to be educated more about giving? He just says, go stop stealing and start giving. Find people who are in need. Now, I'm all for education. I'm all for small groups and all those things. I'm all into that. Our society is biblically ignorant on many things. And when people come to Christ, they need to know certain things. But the first thing this person needs to do is not look every verse about why they should not steal. Apostle Paul says, stop stealing, be useful. Find a way to use your hands so you can create something and do something so you might meet somebody else's need. And for those of us who know Christ, listen, you don't have to be super educated to serve somebody. It should be a natural response, right? For what Christ has done for us. I know we build it up. We say, oh, well, now I got to go feed the homeless, and I got to go adopt children from Africa. Nothing wrong with that. But in our minds, we think, well, that's the highest level of service. In reality, it's just a matter of this. I'm just walking down the strip the other day, and this guy just wants to pull out. And, of course, traffic on Ocean Drive there is going every which way. But I just took it upon myself to just step out into traffic. Stop. Come on. Okay. Now, I expected nothing from that guy. I didn't expect that guy to drop a five on the floor. Hey, buddy, thank you. Throw it out the window. These are simple acts of service. These are simple things we do every day that's built. It should be, as in our society, baked into our spiritual DNA that when we come to know Christ the servant, we also get that DNA through the Holy Spirit who comes in and says, okay, now you're a servant. You don't need a class. There's no prerequisite. Love people. Stop doing bad things. Start doing good things. And God will teach you along the way. Right? Stop doing those things. In Matthew 20:28, Jesus says, in three of the four Gospels, Jesus is recorded saying, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to, right? And to give his life as a ransom for many. If I can open up the context for that just a little bit, in Mark chapter 10, if I may, to kind of explore that for just a second here. In Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 35, In Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 35, if I can find this, here we go. Starting at verse 35, it says, when James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And what do you want from me to do for you, Jesus said. And they replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus says. Can you drink the cup? I drink to be baptized with that baptism. I will also be baptized with. They said, we can. And Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Then when the 10 heard this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. In the church, when we come, it would change our mentality. I know there's many people who come to church who say, what's in it for me? What do I get? Right? It would change our mentality if we came to church and said, if this is the, I'm attending service, right? The question is then, how can I serve? In simple ways, right? It doesn't have to be a title, like Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. It doesn't have to require a title. It doesn't require a position. Listen, I'm just showing up. I used to say a lot of times, sometimes I don't want to come to church. I just say, I just don't want to go. But you know why I say to myself? You know what? I don't need to go for me today, but sometimes I need to go because somebody else needs me to be there. I take my emotion out of it. Regardless of whether I get anything, I need to show up because somebody needs me to be there to do something that they might be served. And I don't want to miss that opportunity. And can I tell you something? If you show up to serve, God will take care of what you need. That's simply what I found in my history of doing that, is saying, look, when I show up to give, and I show up, God knows what we need before we walk in the building. He says, look, I'll take care of you. If you'll start taking care of others, I'll take care of what you need. My wife, by the way, is a great example of this. Guys, how many of you, your wives outserve you? It's okay to admit that. My wife, and I'm a competitive guy, and I can't outserve her. She just does. She just does it. You know, we're competitive a lot of things. There's guys here that if I told you I'm about to flip a coin, you say I could flip that coin better than you. Let me prove it. What if we were like that in our servanthood? What if we were saying, look, oh, that guy's serving? I will serve twice as hard as you. I will serve you under the table, my friend. What if that was our mentality? What if that was the thing that we said we're going to outserve somebody in the best possible way? In the most loving and kind way that we can. You know, if you currently serve in a ministry in this church, serve like you own it. Serve like you own it. This is our role, our responsibility. Let me tell you a quick story. I was in Florida, actually speaking at camp, and I had had my car, and I got a flat tire. And you get a flat tire. First of all, it's a pain. And then you're like, okay, then you discover that the screw that went into your tire went in reverse. You say, that's not good. That can't be great. And immediately I thought to myself, I'm not going to patch this. There's no way this is going to happen. I'm going to have to go ahead and take it in, have someone come in, put the donut on, do all that stuff, and then I got to go and take care of this. So I go ahead and I take care of it, and I wound up going to Walmart there in Vero Beach, and I take it in, and they're saying the list, and I'm saying, okay, yeah. Just give me a tire, $70. Okay, fantastic. Let's do that. I'm, feeling really like just taking time out of my day. I could be doing something else. And I'm like, okay. So I go then to pay the bill. And I go up there and they say, well, that'll be $33. See, $33, you guys had me down for $70. $70-some-odd dollars. What's going on? He goes through the list. Well, balancing the tire, so forth, doing various things. I said, oh, by the way, you didn't mention that, by the way, there's no tire on there. There's no tire on the bill. He says, well, I don't know. He calls a guy in, comes in, says, yeah, we're going to have to talk to Rudy. Rudy over there, yeah, let's talk. Rudy. So I go out and I talk to Rudy. Rudy says, hey, listen, I looked at your tire and your tire was, a brand new tire. I thought to myself, why do you need a brand new tire? I just went ahead and patched it. I'm like, I love you, Rudy. You have saved me money. But what Rudy did was this. Rudy served like he owned it. He didn't have to. He could, it had nothing to do with him. He doesn't know me. That's not his tire. He's working for a company that you should expect him to go, new tire? Yes, ring it up, chung-cha-ching, right? But no, he says instead, I'm going to treat this tire like it's my tire. What would I do if this was my car and this was my tire? I'm going to do it like it's mine. And I'm going to say, look, he saved me money, he saved me time, he explained it to me. I just wanted to kiss Rudy, just right in the face, but I didn't. Because he wasn't that great looking. What I'm saying is, guys, if we, listen to me. Rudy, if you ever watch this, I love you. You're a fine looking man. I just want to say that. So let me offer you then three ways for you to be able to serve it like you own it. Right? Because the Bible talks about, listen, serve those who cannot offer anything back to you. Serve people like you. Look, Jesus did this most of the time, didn't he? There's a woman to be stoned. What was Jesus going to get back? He says, look, no, we're going to stop this right here. We're not stoning people today. That's enough of that. Draws in the dirt. People look at it. They drop rocks. They walk away. Jesus turns around and says, look, you, young lady, go and sin no more. There's no more to it. There was no expectation. He says, look, I just saved your life. Now go your way and sin no more. He did that with lepers. Lepers had nothing to offer. They were probably poor. They were separated from their families. There was nothing to be drawn back from that. Jesus was truly not into self-service. It wasn't about what do I get out of this. It was about I just give it away. I just give it away. And let me tell you something. He didn't expect anything back, but let me tell you what. These people went and told stories about Jesus. This man healed me. This man saved me. This man did this for me. Isn't that what we do? Look what Jesus did for me. Look what Jesus did for me. Jesus saved us. By the way, the Bible says, look, he died while we were still sinners. We didn't have anything to offer. We were hot messes from day one. We had nothing. There was no exchange. There was nothing. He saved us and said, look, it's free. And he says, look, freely you have received, freely give. Serve those who cannot offer anything back. The second thing is serve those who don't know or follow Jesus. Serve those who don't know and follow Jesus. You know, when you talk to people like Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, he says, listen, this guy, he's a tax collector. People hated him. They hated Zacchaeus. He had stolen from him. He had done terrible things. And Jesus says, I'm coming to your house today, and I'm gonna go ahead and we're going to have dinner together. And by the way, that caused quite a stir. Jesus got in big trouble for hanging out with people that other people didn't like. He just did. So you know what? Maybe you should find some people, right? Find some people who don't know or serve the Lord and do something good for them. Do something good for them, even if they don't follow Jesus. Do good for them who are in crisis, who don't have faith. And say, why are you doing this? Because I can. I can do it because I can. I'm gonna treat your life the way I would treat my own life, right? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Without self-serving, without wondering what's in it for me, without wondering with expectation. Listen, the centurion, Roman guard, comes to him and says, will you heal my servant? He says, sure. And he says of him, by the way, I have not seen such great faith. He speaks of him in all of Israel, simply because the man believed. Can I tell you this? There's people all around us who are waiting to believe. They're simply waiting to see some Christians that are not out of service and to show them the goodness and the graciousness of God without, listen, I know we want to trade sometimes. Hey, I did something good for you. Now you got to go to church with me. Is that not a, don't we do that? We have an expectation. I've done all this for you, and now at least you should go to church with me. I don't know. Maybe you should just be church to them. They don't have to come to the service. You bring the service to them, and then they say, hey, by the way, I kind of like the way you serve. Where can I get more of that? I know a bunch of people. They meet on Sunday mornings. Come join me. We have service, and we serve one another. Why don't you come with me? The last thing is this. Serve those who don't deserve it. That's the hard one. Those are the people, relatives. I have fantastic in-laws. If you don't, I feel bad for you. I'm very sorry, but I have great in-laws. But I do have 3 children. And my children, God bless them. I love them. Haley, Brian, and John. Haley's my oldest. She lives in Nashville. And my daughter, when she was a teenager, to say that she was difficult would be an understatement. I wish I could have known, I wish I knew then what I know now, right? But there's this constant thing. And the day, let me tell you something, the day that our relationship changes when I served my daughter and I married her off. Listen to me. I know that sounds odd. I know that sounds odd. But I'm telling you, when I stood before my daughter and I'm looking at her, and of course my daughter has rules. Dad, you are not allowed to cry at the wedding. Do not cry during the service. None of that. And I felt this sudden, I just felt like we had equaled up somehow. Like we had now we are adulting together, right? And when I felt like I was serving her was my greatest joy and pleasure. And there were plenty of times when I didn't feel like my daughter deserved anything except to be in her room forever. My son, Brian, I love him too, sometimes. My children are not the greatest, but I love them. And there are plenty of times when our children, they are ungrateful people. I see some of you nodding your heads. You have children. They are ungrateful, especially the grown-up ones. You expect the 5-year-old. You're so ungrateful. Can you not write me a note of thanks in your crayons? We expect more from our adult children because I raised you right. They can be undeserving. But let me tell you this. Jesus washed the feet of 2 traitors and 10 cowards. Now, I don't think our children are traitors or cowards, but boy, should we serve them in any way we can. Are they ungrateful? Yep. My kids, look, parents, we're the only Jesus they know for the most part. And how we serve them and how we love them is going to be the deal. In Luke 6:35, it says this, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." Whew, that's so hard. We keep track. We take notes. We keep scorecards. And we ought to rip them up. And just say, you know what, I'm going to serve you today. Children, my kids, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to find a way to bless you. I'm going to find a way to give back to you. For my daughter, I've been doing this for years. It's a simple thing. But every state I go to, I buy her a deck of cards from that state. It's a simple thing that when I see her again, I have a gift to give her. And I say, hey, that's our thing. Been doing that probably since she was 14 years old. Just finding a way to connect, finding a way to serve. You know what? My daughter gives back. She works for an international adoption agency called Show Hope. I think my daughter turned out pretty well. She turned out pretty good. And God is growing us both. And your kids aren't done yet either, by the way. God is growing them and you together. You're figuring out how to serve each other and love one another. 2 Timothy, if I can close with this, is those, those who cleanse themselves from the latter, Paul is talking to Timothy, the latter being wickedness, sinfulness, all that stuff. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And for us today, as Christians and as believers in the Lord, God wants to use us to do good things. He wants to give us, He gives us opportunities every day to serve Him in small ways, without asking back, without an exchange. You know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. He didn't ask our permission. He didn't ask us, well, what do you think about that? He just sort of did it and then invited people to come to Him. You know, we can do the same thing every day without expectation, without anything, in our own homes where we serve the Lord. I just sent my youngest son off to college. Hallelujah. Empty nest for at least 4 years, and then he moves back in, I have a feeling. But even now, I'm trying to find ways to serve him. How can I serve you, buddy? How many of you know the first two are practice? It's your third that you kind of work, you kind of get a little more perfected. But I still work on the other two as well. But I'm still trying to find ways to serve. I'm still trying to, I don't know, can I say this, guys? I don't know who I am without service. I just don't. I don't know what my identity is without serving. When my last day, when I served, I just served 8 years at a church. And as a youth pastor, and I retired from full-time youth pastoring. I mean, look at the effect it's had on me. I said, that last meal, they cooked a great meal. We had a great day. And I went out, and I got up, and I started picking up paper plates at my meal. And somebody said, Paul, what are you doing? This is for you. You shouldn't be doing that. I said, let me tell you something. They don't remember how you came. They remember how you left. And I will serve. To the very last day. And that should be us. To the very last day. To the very last day. We serve. We serve. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, so grateful today of this opportunity to share with this congregation today, this beautiful, wonderful group of servants that stand before me. And I pray they'll take this today, God. I pray that you have impressed upon them your word, that, Lord, they will hear your Spirit speak to them. Serve always, serve to the end. Serve others as I have served you. And I pray, Lord, they'll just look for opportunities today, from blessing the waitress that they go to eat at, to their neighbors next door, to their very own children. Nobody is exempt from the goodness of God. And I pray that we'll display that to them today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.